You're tuned to The Record from KUOW with David Hyde. I'm Steve Scher. If you're not a dedicated football fan, a lot of the jargon players and announcers use can sound pretty nonsensical. Here's an example. Peyton Manning yelled Omaha 44 times in a game against San Diego. It was so confusing, Manning explained to reporters afterwards what he was talking about.
Omaha is a it's a run play, but it could be a pass play or a play action pass, depending on a couple things. The wind, which way we're going, quarter, and the jerseys that we're wearing. So it varies, really play to play. So there's your answer to that one.
Play to play, win to win, talk to talk. That was Peyton Manning, why he yelled Omaha. Now we bring you some real explanations on football jargon. Ben Zimmer is a lexicographer and our favorite language guru. Hi, Ben.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you for talking to us again. Now, one of the most common bits of football jargon is the word for the football itself, pigskin. Why is a football called a pigskin?
pigskin, yeah, that's goes back to when the football really was made out of the skin of a pig. And actually, as a slang term for the football, goes all the way back to 1894. Before that, pigskin was used to refer to saddle leather in the 19th century. The football is, of course, no longer made from the skin of a pig, but that slang term has held on as standing in for the game itself.
So long, so much as we know. Why saddle leather? So even though it was, they were using cowhide, the saddle was called a pigskin?
I guess that you could, there were, also from the hog hide could have been another way of making a saddle back in the old days.
I see. How come quarterbacks yell hut one, hut two, hut three? What's the hut height come from?
Well, that's an interesting one. Basically, the hut that you hear on a quarterback's cadence, hut one, hut two, hut three, comes from military cadences for marching, where hut has been used for a long time to accent a syllable. And that military-style hut has been in use at least since World War II. Drill sergeants would yell, "Attend hut," for attention. And certainly by the 1950s, quarterbacks had borrowed that technique to develop their own cadences for calling the snap count. So hut is this short, sharp syllable. You can hear it clearly over a distance, so that's helpful if you're a quarterback, just as it would be for a drill sergeant who's leading a march.
I see. There are some names for specific defense positions, Sam, Mike, Will. Where did that come from?
Sam, Mike, Will. Yeah, now that's interesting because these names have developed for different positions. So on the defensive line, when the defense is in a particular alignment known as the 4-3 alignment, basically you have four linemen on the line of scrimmage and three linebackers behind them, and those three are usually called the strong side linebacker, the middle linebacker, and the weak side linebacker. Well, that's a lot of words, so it's a lot easier just to say Sam for strong side, Mike for middle, and W for weak side. Those names have become the kind of shorthand, although it's interesting if you go back to the 50s, there were women's names that were being used instead of men's names, and so for S, it was Sarah. For W, it was Wanda, and so forth. And so those have become more macho names with the use of men's names for those positions now.
Man, I think, Ben Zimmer, that it's hard for the fan or the sometime fan to figure out these terms, but I sometimes wonder about the players themselves. There's so much to know.
It's true. It's true. And often you have to know just the lingo that's specific to your team. You know, they might use certain nicknames or, you know, certain code words. You mentioned Peyton Manning with Omaha. I mean, that's a great example where to know what Omaha means, that can very much vary from team to team. And Peyton Manning gave that wonderfully opaque answer when he was asked what it means for the Broncos. But, you know, in the past, Omaha has been a signal for running the opposite play. So instead of going to the right, going to the left. And so perhaps Omaha started as shorthand for opposite, sharing that letter O. But the way that Peyton Manning uses it, it actually signals that the snap count is starting, except when it doesn't mean that, because there can be another code word that the defense doesn't know about, which basically tells his players, ignore the Omaha that I'm about to say. So all of these code words and codes that hide other codes are extremely complicated. At the same time, they have to be transparent enough for players to understand, and the opposing players can't really be in on that code.
Football demands good listening skills, hence the power of the 12th man. That's a term we have. Do other teams have similar terms for their audience?
Well, the 12th man has become the most popular expression to refer to the power of the fans. And, of course, Seahawks fans have been using that back since the days in the Kingdome back in the 1980s when they first got this reputation for being extremely noisy and all that crowd noise helping out the team. But it's interesting because the Seahawks actually don't own that expression in any way. In fact, they have to pay a licensing fee to Texas A&M, which trademarked that expression, the 12th man, back in the 90s. And they have been using the term all the way back since the 1920s. There was a legendary incident at Texas A&M involving an important game where one of the fans actually suited up to play. And that fan is now a kind of this legendary figure at Texas A&M, and they really latched onto that expression well before the Seahawks did. So it's interesting. Texas A&M and the Seattle Seahawks have been kind of wrangling over the use of that term for a while now, but the Seahawks agreed to pay this annual fee so that they could continue to use that term to refer to their own fans.
Wow, Ben Zimmer, lexicographer, we need our own. Seattle needs its own. What about Legion of Boom? That's a slang here. Can we own that?
I think the Seahawks can claim ownership over Legion of Boom. I don't think anybody else is using that one. That one, of course, is referring to the secondary, the defensive line of the Seahawks. And, you know, that one has been around for a couple of years. It plays off of the Legion of Doom, which is the group of supervillains from DC Comics, changing doom to boom, referring to the way that the secondary brings the boom. That has been getting some national attention now, of course, now that the Seahawks are going to the Super Bowl. And when Richard Sherman used it in his notorious post-game interview after the conference championship, he shortened it to just LOB, but people outside of Seattle might not have been very familiar with that expression, and some people even thought he was referring to L.L. Bean if they didn't know that LOB really meant Legion of Boom. But now people are really learning about that particular nickname for the Seahawks secondary.
Phrases like that have much shelf life in lexicography?
Sometimes they do. You know, sometimes they can remain very specific to one particular team. So many, you know, teams have nicknames either for the team itself, for the offensive or defensive lines, or for particular players. If it's a particularly legendary team, like if you go back to the Pittsburgh Steelers in the 1970s, their defensive team was famously called the Steel Curtain. So there can be very evocative names. Fans and players and coaches are all coming up with very creative names for players and for teams. Everybody's sort of joining in on the fun. And it also gives you a kind of a sense of allegiance or loyalty to a particular team if you can join in and know the nicknames of all of these things.
So, Ben, are there any football terms that really stick out for you, some strange ones or just ones you want to leave us with?
Well, you know, it's interesting how aggressive football terminology can be. And so for many years, the word smash mouth was very popular. It actually dates back to the 60s, but it was used in the 90s and onwards until smash mouth now seems a little passe. And so for that aggressive kind of play, now people talk about slobber knocker, or ground and pound football for that kind of run-oriented offense. It's interesting how these things can change, and sometimes a term like smash mouth can be very popular, then all of a sudden people decide it's time to move on to something else.
Slobber Knocker might be a good name for a band, too, though.
Well, yeah, Smash Mouth was a successful band, so why not?
Why not? Ben Zimmer, thanks a lot.
Oh, thank you.
Ben Zimmer is a linguist, self-described word nerd. He's also the executive producer of Vocabulary.com, and he's a columnist for The Wall Street Journal, New York Times Magazine. Go Hawks.